Thank you very much. And we're so glad to have all of you here, although we, like Bill said, there's a lot of missing this evening because of vacations. And when the guys take a vacation, half of the church takes a vacation. So they're gone, but they'll be back Wednesday. They should be anyway. We're so happy to have Arnisha with us. Arnisha is Eric's girlfriend. Is that?
Fiance.
Good. Okay. Fiance. All right. And we're so glad to have you with us. And we hope you'll come back. And just make yourself at home. And after, don't leave too early because some people here probably want to talk to you. And just say hello to you and get to know you. I'm going to talk to you this evening, about the cross. As Bill has already said, he's saying a lot of the songs were about the cross. I asked you to open your Bibles, if you would, to John the 12th chapter. John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 32, if you would. When we get there, we'll read this together. John chapter 12, verse 32. I'll give you time to get there. We'll be going to quite a few passages this evening, so we'll take our time and get there. John chapter 12 and verse 32. In John chapter 12 and verse 32, the Lord Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And the very next verse tells us, "This he said, signifying what death he should die." So this evening, I want to talk to you about the central point in the history of mankind, the crucifixion of Jesus. So many of the prophecies of the Old Testament find their fulfillment in the cross and the events that surround it. All of the world's history since that day is defined by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Truly, any glorying that man may do must stem not from his own accomplishments, but from the cross of Jesus. Therein can we glory. And if you would, turn your Bibles now to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll look at verse 2 when we get there. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. He said, "For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now, some of you may just be getting to 1 Corinthians, but now I want you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Take your time. We'll be reading a lot of tonight. This way will give you a good chance to learn the Bible more. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. Again, from Galatians 6 and verse 14, Paul wrote these words. He said, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Now, brethren and friends, the cross depicts what God has done for us. That is a reason to glory. Our strength stems from what God has bestowed upon us. And brethren and friends, the cross of Jesus reveals so much more about God and about man. If we take time to look at the cross and to evaluate its worth, then we will more fully understand why Paul wrote those words in Galatians 6:14 that we just read. We too will glory in the cross if we put forth the effort to investigate what the cross reveals to us. Paul said it was what he was all about. He said, "I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That is the way it should be with all of us. So this evening, let's talk about some of the things revealed to us by the cross of Jesus. I ask you to follow along with me as always. I do not want you to take my word nor take any man's word, only the word of God, which of course is the Bible. First of all, the cross of our Lord reveals our sins. I'm afraid, my friends, that a lot of folks are running around with the idea that somehow sin is just not all that bad. After all, doesn't even the Bible tell us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God in Romans 3:22? Yes, it does. Surely if everybody does it, then it can't be all that bad, can it? Well, if you ever get to thinking that way and you want a real sense of what a sin is all about, look at the cross of Jesus and see sin and all its terrible consequences. Look at Matthew the 27th chapter with me now. Matthew chapter 27. There's an interesting statement made in Matthew 27 concerning something that happened while Jesus was hanging on the cross. Verse 45 says, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour." Darkness over all the land. I don't think I'd be stretching to say that the blackness that covered the earth while Jesus was on the cross is pretty good indication that of the blackness of sin that necessitated him being there in the first place. How can we fail to see the terribleness of sin that cried out for the life of the perfect and obedient only begotten Son of God? How can we not see how awful sin is? When Pilate asked, "What shall I do with Jesus?" the mob cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." It was sin that put Jesus on the cross. It was sin that called for his life. That's the reason he went to the cross. Look with me at Acts the 2nd chapter, if you would, please. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Peter said, beginning in verse 22, "You men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken," and listen now, "and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Yes, he was indicting those who were there physically at that time. But let's not kid ourselves. Their sin put him on the cross, but so did ours. Our sin put him on the cross too. And don't you ever think for a moment that our sin did not put him on the cross. Now I'm going to ask you again to go to 2 Corinthians, if you would, and verse 5. Chapter 5, excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And you know, my friends, Jesus died on the cross to change the lives of men. From 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15, we learn, For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he was dead for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Brethren, friends, Jesus died on the cross to change the lives of men. Think about this. Because it is true that all of us have sinned, and because it is true the wages of sin is death, all of us are rightfully under the sentence of death. But Jesus took our place. He paid our penalty, and he did it on the cross. Think about that. He took our place. He paid the penalty for sin for us so that we didn't have to. I want us to go back to the Old Testament for a moment, to Isaiah the 53rd chapter. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah prophetically, remember he was a prophet, he told us in Isaiah 53 verses 4 through 6, he prophesied these words, "Surely he hath borne all of our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all." Just think about that. The Lord the Father, laid on his Son the iniquity of all of our sins. And he had to bore all of our sins. If you want to come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. Paul wrote these words in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. He said, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." He's talking about our Lord Jesus. He said, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin." Jesus knew no sin. He was the only perfect person that ever lived on this earth and ever will live. "That we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Through his righteousness, he saved us. Now look at what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. First Peter 2 and verse 24, Peter told us, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on that tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." When he was beaten and put on that cross, he did it for us. He did it for us. He bare our sins, brethren. Yes, Jesus paid the price of the sins of man, yours and mine, when he died on the cross. So don't ever think that sin is not all that bad, because it is. So how can we consider the cross and not see the love of God? The cross reveals God's love. Let me ask you this. If you wanted to show love for someone who sinned against you, who opposed you in every way, how would you do it? How would you do it? Let me tell you how God did it. God showed how to do it. He said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He gave his only Son for us, for wicked men. He gave his only Son to die on a cruel cross so we could have that hope of eternal life. What was man? What was his lifestyle? And how was he conducting himself when God did this? Was man perfect and worthy of this love? Well, look with me at Romans, the 5th chapter. Romans chapter 5. One of my favorite passages. Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. When we get there. Romans 5, verse 6. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Think about it. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." Listen now. "But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." How many people in this building right now would die for someone that you didn't even know? Someone that was wicked. If it was your good friend, you may think about it, but if you didn't know him, there's no way you would do it. But Jesus did it. He did it. But God commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God did this for us in order that we might be spared the punishment that is rightfully ours. Surely this shows how much God loves us and how much God wants man to be saved. My friends, just think of all the wonderful blessings that our benevolent God pours out upon us every day. And it may be overlooked or taken for granted by ungrateful mankind. Just think of this, the beautiful sky, the life-giving rain and snow, the glorious mountains and the vibrant forest. Everything that sustains us, they all testify of a loving Creator. But how much more does the cross portray God's infinite, tender love and mercy for those made in His own image? The cross is what makes us sorry for our sins and leads us to repent and turn to God. Many a hard and calloused heart has been melted by the story of the cross. No heart can hear the sufferings and the feelings of love presented on the cross of Christ and believe it and not be moved by God's great love. It has to move you. And the cross, my friends, also reveals the sweet perfection of the Lord Jesus. It was by the cross the perfect character of Jesus was presented before the whole world. Look with me again in Hebrews, the second chapter. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 9. The perfect character of Jesus is presented before the whole world here. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, we're told, "But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the sufferings of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Jesus tasted death for every man that ever lived or ever will live. Follow me now, if you will. It was by this means that He reached the perfection needed to be our perfect Savior. Now move over to Hebrews chapter 5 with me. And we'll look at verses 8 and 9. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. "Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him." He is the author of salvation. Nobody else is. No one that ever lived or ever will live. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation. Thus, my friends, the author of our salvation was made perfect by how? By sufferings and His reaction to them. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 2 now. This time, let's look at verse 10. The Bible says, "For it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." The perfection of character in Jesus is shown in that He was willingly accepted this course in compliance with the will of the Father. Philippians 2 and verse 8 tells us, "And being found in a fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Turn to John chapter 10 with me, please. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Brethren and friends, Jesus knew full well the price that He was going to pay. He knew full well the pain that He was going to face. He knew what would happen, yet he told his apostles in verse 17. He said, I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one taketh it away from me, but I lay it down of myself. He laid it down for us. He gave his life on that rugged old cross for us. One more passage to look at on this point is Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Go back to Hebrews again. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. The Hebrew writer wrote, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. But he said he endured that cross, despising, he despised the shame. But now he's sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He did all that for you and me. The nobility of his character is shown in that he endured the torture of death, knowing that he thereby could redeem us from sin. What a wonderful Savior. Do we really appreciate and love him the way we should? Or do we take him for granted? I hope not. And the cross reveals God's appeal. The strongest appeal God makes to human is made by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. God wanted to touch the hearts of sinners and to change them. And it is in sin that the cross is accomplished. Turn back to Romans chapter 5 with me. Romans chapter 5, if you would. And this time we're going to read verse 10. The Bible says, for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. We are saved by His life. He gave His life so that we can be saved, so that we can have eternal life with Him in heaven. Not only did God appeal to us by showing His divine love for us, He also presented a great lesson on love and sacrifice. And Jesus said, and I think we need to read this too, John chapter 15 and verse 13. I want you to read this. I think we want to look at this together because it's very important. John 15 and verse 13. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Just think about that. No greater love hath a man that he wouldn't lay down his life for his sins. But that's what he did. In fact, he even went a little further. He laid down his life for his enemies also. Jesus then went to the cross and he demonstrated that love is a degree almost beyond comprehension. His love is beyond comprehension. We can't even imagine it, what he went through for us, that he didn't have to. He died for all, friend and foe, follower and abuser. The examples Jesus left us should lift our sights to nobler living. Because God appeals to us by the cross, the story of the cross had to be told to sinners. This became the burden of preaching for those who sought to save souls. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, Paul tells us, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. The preaching of the cross is the power of God. On the first Pentecost after the death of Jesus, the apostles were waiting in Jerusalem as the Lord had told them to do. Let's look together at Acts chapter 2, brethren. Acts chapter 2. I want you to come with me in Acts chapter 2 and let's see what happened. Acts chapter 2, beginning verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them the cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And as they began to preach on that day, what was central to that message? Well, let's turn again to look at verses 22 through 24 in Acts 2. Peter, preaching that first gospel sermon ever preached, said in verse 22 of Acts 2, "Ye men of Israel," he was talking to the Jews, "hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands," listen, "have crucified and slain, whom God had raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." The cross of Christ was God's appeal to sinners then, and is God's appeal to sinners now. And finally, the cross of Christ reveals a responsibility for each one of us. As Jesus himself expressed in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, he said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." You see what he's saying here? If any man will come after me. In other words, if you're going to be baptized for the remission of your sins, then you're taking up your cross and you're going to follow him. And he must be number one forever until you die. He must be number one in your life. Nothing ever, ever can ever take number one. It's always going to be Jesus if you want to go to heaven. He is always going to be number one in your life. Just as Jesus bore the cross for us, we must bear our cross for him. But as we contemplate the cross to be borne, let us also visualize the great joy that will be ours when, in eternity, exchange that cross for a glorious crown. When it's all over, said and done, if we remain faithful to the day we die, then we will go to heaven and we'll change our cross for a crown of glory. And we'll live with Jesus and God and the other saints forever and ever and ever. So I'm going to read this little poem to you. What does he mean to you? Please tell me what he means to you, this Jesus the Nazarene. The one who will, if you let him, make life and death serene. This one who walked as we walk, clothed in human flesh, whose life, word, and example was perfect in every respect. Does he guide your thoughts and footsteps through the word that his Spirit revealed? Is he just an historical character to you, or is he actually living and real? If you will be rewarded when life on this earth is done, it will only be because you are washed in the blood of God's precious Son. Something to think about. So if I asked every one of you here this evening, are you planning on going to heaven? I'm sure every one of you would say yes. Jesus has promised us that if we remain faithful to him, there is a place prepared for us in heaven. And I want us to read about that place. It's in John the 14th chapter. John the 14th chapter. I want us to all read that together. John 14. Listen to this. John 14, verses 1 through 3. This is what Jesus said. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Aren't these comforting words to you? They should be. Jesus is telling, He's gone already to prepare a place for all of us, those that are faithful to Him until death. So when Jesus comes back, He's coming back for those who have made themselves ready, those who are wearing His name. And that name is Jesus. And it is put on by being baptized in Jesus' name. It's the only way you can put on Jesus. And you must be in Jesus, in Christ, to be saved. And there's only one way to get into Christ, and that is through baptism. One last place I want us to look, and that's Acts chapter 2. Back to Acts chapter 2 one more time. On the day of Pentecost, this great gospel sermon of Peter was told, the first gospel sermon ever preached. He told the multitude, he asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? He had just accused them of crucifying the Son of God. They didn't know what to do. They knew they were wrong. How do I get out of this? They said, how do I redeem myself? He answered in verse 38 of Acts 2. First of all, he said, repent. Repentance is so important. You must repent of your sin. He said, repent, and then after that, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You must repent of your sins. And then you're baptized for the remission of those sins. Then they're washed away. That, my friends, is how you put on the name of Jesus Christ. If you're not following this plan of salvation, then you're not ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Please think about your relationship with Jesus this very evening, and if you're not a Christian, please don't leave this building in an unsaved condition. Maybe you are a Christian, but you've sinned in a manner that others are aware of. And you need to make your life right with God too. You do that by repenting to God and then coming forward and let the brethren know you have repented and let us pray with you and pray for you. Then you too will be on that road that leads to heaven. I want us to do one more thing. If you would, open your song books to number 321. Then we're going to come back to Bill's number 546. I like these words. And I want you to read with me. At the cross, number 321. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazingly, pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well, might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in when Christ the mighty maker died for man the creature sin? But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. And of course, is at the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith that I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. That is what I wanted to read to you. Our brother Bill has chosen to sing number 546 as our invitation song, so turn your Bibles now to 546. If you will, stand as we sing. And if anybody has anything they need to repent of, please take care of that this evening.